Well, NHTSA, Australia is doing really, really well. So far, the medal tally is 49 medals, 12 gold, 15 silver and 22 bronze medals. Not a bad performance. Of course, it all began with the wonderful opening ceremony. Australia's team of almost 600 marched into Teddy Stadium. Sean Block was the flag bearer, and it was just an amazing moment on all accounts for everyone who was there. Then all the action started, and the Australian futsal team, the juniors and the men's, both had huge victories against the likes of Brazil. The women's footballers, junior and senior, had fantastic wins against Great Britain. Medals started flowing, first in golf. In the pool, we're a great swimming nation so far. Well, Matt Levy, the Paralympian, got 5 golds just by himself, including, for the first time ever, breaking a world record at a Maccabiah Games in the 200 metres. There's so many sports. We've got in athletics, the juniors did particularly well. So these are just some of the highlights, and the action continues for another few days.
We are talking to Shane Desiatnik, Australian Jewish news journalist, and you're listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia. Shane, on the front page of the AJN this week, a big title. Three respectable rabbis, Australian rabbis, were on the blacklist in Israel. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, so this is a quite controversial one. But yes, you're right, there were three Australian rabbis from Orthodox, Chabad and Progressive shuls. And they're all baffled because they found themselves contacted that they were on the blacklist of 160 rabbis. They've all received a letter confirming that, but they all reject being on the list. Spokesperson for Caulfield Hebrew Congregation, whose Rabbi Rolf Genende was on the list, said the rabbi had served the members of the Victorian and New Zealand Jewish community with distinction over the past 25 years, and the publication of such a list in the name of the Chief Rabbinate of Israel can only serve to further disenfranchise diaspora Jews from Orthodox Judaism. Another rabbi, Sydney's Rabbi Aaron Ritchie Moss of Nefesh, a Chabad community, said he'd received a personal apology from the Chief Rabbi, who was very embarrassed by this, and he says, "Rest assured, there is nothing for me or my community to be concerned about." And finally, Rabbi Yoram Ullman, a senior Dayan of the Sydney Beth Din, said the official who compiled the list has been reprimanded and he has been emailed an apology. Meanwhile, Rabbi Fred Morgan from the Union of Progressive Judaism, which has no connections with Orthodox Israeli Rabbinate, said he was mystified by his inclusion. And he said it was absolutely disgraceful that people who have had to deal with blacklisting for virtually all of their history are compiling such a list against their own people.
I must clarify that the blacklist that was compiled by the rabbis in Israel means that any rabbi, that if somebody went through a conversion with that rabbi on the blacklist, the conversion will not be accepted in Israel. And that was shocking news for these rabbis because they do lots of conversions here in Australia, and also people that were converted by those rabbis and went to live in Israel, and suddenly those rabbis on the blacklist, it means that their conversion will not be recognized in Israel by the Rabbanut Rashit in Israel, which is very surprising. But it seems that it was all a mistake, isn't it?
Yeah, terrible, terrible mistake, and then very embarrassing from the Rabbanut of Israel.
Yeah, we are talking to Shane Desiatnik, AJN journalist. And Shane, South Head Synagogue future all but decided. We all want to know what's happening with South Head Synagogue and the rabbi.
Yes, this has been going on for a long time now, and then, the last-ditch attempt was made to save South Head Shul from liquidation, but that appears to be over, much to the disappointment of everyone. A group known as the South Head Synagogue Unity Plan was formed, and they've reluctantly concluded this week that there's nothing further that they can do to help bring Rabbi Benzi and Malecki and the Shul's board together anymore. Gone that far. They've said in a statement, it appears that the costs and burdens upon the community will almost inevitably cause the South Head congregation, as we have known it, to be very seriously damaged, Gary Cohen and Peter Wise said. And they've described themselves as the concerned congregants who support a united congregation. So we can, they, Jen, can exclusively reveal that in response to a rabbi's offer last week to secure, the secure creditors made an offer of more than $1 million to the rabbi and agreed to organize a tribute to him in the synagogue on the condition that the rabbi had no control over the future of the shul. The agreement could not be reached, and the AGN can also reveal that in the report to creditors, the administrator wrote that he considered the rabbi as a director because of his heavy involvement in discussions, decisions, and board meetings. Wise and Cohen said a lot of water has already flowed under the bridge, and the parties have not, until this point, been able to bring themselves to accept the terms that each other were insisting upon.
So that's really interesting, and it's very, very sad story for the South Head Jewish community in the eastern suburbs of Sydney. Shane, we are talking to Shane Dziatnik, a journalist at the Australian Jewish News. Shane, there is a very interesting story in the Jewish News this week about a couple that discovered that their ketubah is not legitimate. Can you explain it to us?
Yes, Nitzer. Look, there's two couples who may be forced to conduct their Jewish wedding services again because their marital status may not be recognized by a majority of Orthodox rabbis across the world. The couples were actually married in Melbourne by the Ark Center's Rabbi Shneur Reti Wax, and they're believed to be unaware of the halachic issues that have arisen as a result of the way their marriage ceremonies were conducted. To explain, a requirement of Orthodox weddings is that two Torah observant male witnesses must sign the ketubah, the Jewish marriage agreement.
I must say they can't be relatives of the bride or the groom, and they have to be Shomrei Shabbat and Torah observant, as you said.
That's right. So one of the couples were married early this year, and their wedding has been put under investigation by the Rabbinical Council of Victoria for the past 4 months. One of the witnesses has told the Rabbinical Council of Victoria that he is Shomer Shabbat, but photographic evidence supplied has led the council to believe that the person posts on Facebook on Shabbat and that he would not qualify to be a kosher witness at a wedding. Meanwhile, a witness at another wedding ceremony conducted by Rabbi Reti Wex has told the AGN that he is not Torah observant and didn't realize he had to be.
That's interesting. So they can actually cancel the wedding because the witnesses are not kosher witnesses.
Yes, so it looks like the senior dayan at the Melbourne Beth Din, Rabbi Mordechai Gudnick, has confirmed that if any part of a marriage did not comply with halakha, then it is not legitimate according to Jewish law. So he said whoever performed the marriages would have to do it again, covering the problematic issues that have arose.
Shane Dziatnik, thank you so much, and have a great week.